This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
To our internet listeners, please turn off your cell phones. Make sure you have your badges on. We've got an interesting meeting again yet today. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Greenfield.
Here.
Jameson.
Here.
Ketwig.
Here.
Marty.
Here.
McCleary. Otten.
Here.
Reed.
Here.
Shanefish.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Turbeville.
Here.
York.
Here.
Tolson.
Here.
Consett.
Here.
We have a quorum with the majority of members present, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Moved a motion on the minutes.
So moved.
Second. Representative Turbeville, seconded by Representative Otten. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Ooh, yikes. Sorry. Yeah, the minutes are approved. Pages, please come up and introduce yourself, where you're going, where you're coming from, your sign.
Hi, I'm Tori Rasmussen from Alcester Hudson. I'm currently a junior at Alcester Hudson High School, and I hope on attending SCSU for pre-law and FFA, and then hopefully University of Nebraska-Lincoln for law school. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Audrey Quinn, and I'm a senior at Stevens High School in Rapid City, and I plan on going to the University of Oregon and studying dentistry with the hope of going into medical research.
Like a girl that has colored hair and wears a tie, too. Wow. Good for you. All right. Like I said, badges on, and please sign in if you're testifying. We're going to start with House Bill 1235, Representative Turbeville.
Madam Chair, I move to defer House Bill 1235.
Does he have a second? Second. Representative Greenfield seconds. We have House Bill 1235, and I should preface this. Both sponsors asked for them to be pulled. And then with 1257, we are going to defer. So it's going to be another monumentally quick committee today, hopefully. So, Madam Secretary, would you please take the roll on deferring House Bill 1235 to the 41st day?
Representatives Greenfield.
Aye.
Jameson.
Aye.
Ketwig.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Shanefish.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Turbeville.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
13 ayes.
Having received a majority of the members present, House Bill 1235 is moved to the 41st day. House Bill 1247, Representative Turbeville.
Madam Chair, I move that we defer House Bill 1247 to the 41st day.
Is he have a second?
Second.
Representative Otten seconds. House Bill 1247 to the 41st day. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Greenfield.
Aye.
Jameson.
Aye.
Ketwig.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Shanefish.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Turbeville.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
13 ayes.
House Bill 1247 is moved to the 41st day.
I'll be later.
Now on to House Bill 1257. It's my understanding that the primary sponsor of this bill is working with working out some kinks on this, and so we are going to defer this until Thursday. Representative?
Madam Chair, I move that we defer House Bill 1257 to another day.
Second.
Seconded by Tolson and Smith, or McCleary. So that's third. House Bill 1257 to be deferred until next Thursday. Madam Secretary.
Representatives Greenfield.
Aye.
Jameson.
Aye.
Ketwig.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
McCleary.
Yeah. Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Shanefish.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Turbeville.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye. Madam Secretary.
13 ayes.
House Bill 1257 has been deferred until a week from today. Now let's get to business, everybody. We're going to open up the public hearing on House Bill 1273. Proponents for House Bill 1273. And I would ask for kindness for our representative as she testifies.
I think she's inferring I've never done this before. Do you think? I'm Marley Wheezy. I'm representing District 8, and we bring before you House Bill 1273. Currently, a municipality over 5,000 can only issue a convention facility on-sale liquor license if the facility has seating for 400 people and sleeping rooms for 100 people. This applies whether the city is a 5,000 population or 200,000 population. Any city under 5,000 needs to have seating for 150 people and 40 sleeping rooms. This bill would change that limit and allow cities under 200,000 population to issue licenses to those smaller facilities. And in full truth, Madison has a facility that we're trying to get built in Madison, and we need one of these licenses and aren't able to secure one. We have DSU who's doing a lot of building. We have a lot of need for convention center facilities, and so that's why we're bringing this bill. Thank you. We have more proponents.
Thank you, Representative. Well done.
Madam Chair? Correct.
Representative?
I'm hearing 200,000. Is it not 20?
Can I let you on answer that?
Of course.
Thank you,
Representative.
Madam Chairman, Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. I believe this ties exactly to what I was talking about. Our first-class municipalities, the ones that are in this impacted by this bill, range from a population of 5,000 people to getting close to 200,000 people. Sioux Falls is our largest, of course. I think Belfouche is our smallest. And so that's the range of city you're talking about in this first-class municipality. The whole point of this bill is that this type of license does not work equally well for all of those cities because of that vast difference in the populations involved. And so, in effect, in South Dakota, every city in South Dakota has two of these licenses that they can use. And the difference is the trigger in which they're able to use them. That trigger is what we're trying to move here so that the smaller cities can have the same opportunities for this kind of development as those largest cities do. There are 17 cities that are over 5,000 in population in South Dakota. Only 12 of them would be impacted by this bill at all. Of those 12, five have already issued a license at that larger level. Those five are the city of Pierre, which is, of course, our state capital, and the rest are all on the interstate corridor. When you look at who issues these licenses in our smaller towns, who can use the smaller facilities, it is all entirely based on the economy of that local municipality. Deadwood, for example, got a special bill passed for them. They have 12 of them available, and I think most of them are issued because Deadwood has that kind of an economy that they can support that, and they had a special law passed to do that. Custer has issued one as a smaller town. Tourism. Keystone is our smallest one. They only have 300 and some people, but that heavy tourism base let them access this kind of a license, and they are, of course, at that lower level. We're just saying that the same rules shouldn't apply to all first-class cities because it goes from 5,000 to that huge, huge number. And so what we're doing is just changing the trigger that allows a municipality to access those two licenses that they already have sitting there in their town available for them. Our whole point with this bill is that our smaller cities should have the same economic development opportunities as our largest cities and that they should have a realistic ability to use them. And that's what this bill does. So we urge your support.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, 1273. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Aaron Scheibe. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Governor's Office of Economic Development. It's my pleasure to speak in support of this bill today. As many of you, I'm sure, are aware, the opportunities to host conferences, events, to help business networking, et cetera, are really a key part of economic development in a lot of our communities. This bill really just kind of updates to reflect some changing needs that we're seeing within some of our communities. You heard a little bit about Madison. I really do want to kind of hit particularly on how I think it's so important important for GOED that Madison has an opportunity like this. There may be other communities, too, that would benefit, but certainly Madison is kind of first and foremost in my mind. You know, with the investment that's been made with the Mad Labs and the expansion going on at DSU, there's going to be some really incredible opportunities that will come for networking and bringing in private sector, academia, national security, and a lot of other potential opportunities for partnerships that will elevate not just DSU in the country, but also South Dakota's profile within the country. And with that comes opportunities to recruit and attract businesses that will be looking at DSU as a center of excellence in the financial services area, technology area. And this really dovetails exactly with one of the primary targeted industries that we have at GOED, which is financial services and what's being called fintech or financial technology. This relies a lot on some of the advanced computing ability that DSU is developing, the cybersecurity expertise that it has, the ability to bring people together, support conferences, other types of exchanges that go on are really an important part of securing future deals for the state. And so we would urge your support. So thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1273. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, committee members. Katie Sieverding with the South Dakota Retailers Association. I, too, rise in support of House Bill 1273 for many of the reasons that were stated before, but also for these smaller first-class communities. Bringing a facility in like this would not only help the community, but also the businesses in it and our members. So restaurants, other hotels, and just other businesses in general would see a benefit from a change like this. So we, too, urge your support of House Bill 1273.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1273. Seeing none at this time, we will take opponent testimony on House Bill 1273. Looks like you got a good one. At this time, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 1273 and open it up for committee questions and or action.
Madam Chair.
Representative Reed.
I'll move to pass.
I'll second.
It's been moved by Representative Reed, House Bill 1273, and seconded by Representative York. Any comments?
Yes. Well, the bill's in really good shape, what they're trying to accomplish. And coming from a university town, you want to be able to capitalize on what you've got with the university. And the statements that were made through economic development, the retailers, I know from my experience in Brookings, these events bring people in. And you're going to bring them in from all over the United States. And it's just good for a community to be able to do those things. So I support this bill and urge everybody else to support it.
Thank you, Representative. Further comments by the committee? Seeing none at this time, we will go ahead and take the roll, Madam Secretary.
Representatives Greenfield. Jameson.
Aye.
Kettwig.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Turbeville.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
13 ayes.
House Bill 1273, having reached a majority of the members elect, passes.
I'm here.
I'm not giving it to consent. It's going to go to the floor. You'll do just fine. You tried. You got a friend there. Okay, House Bill 1273 is done. At this point, we're going to move to Senate Bill 90. Senate Bill 90. Welcome, Representative.
Representative Timothy Johns, District 31, Northern Black Hills of South Dakota. It's my pleasure today to bring you Senate Bill 90, which is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the payment of taxes and fees before transferring title of mobile homes or manufactured homes. Currently, under the law, when it's real property, I am assessed 1 year and I pay those taxes become due and payable the next year. With mobile homes and manufactured homes, I am assessed and I might the same year that my taxes become due and payable. This would change the law. Section 1 deals with Section 10-4-2.5 of the South Dakota Codified Laws. It currently provides that any transfer or reassignment of a manufactured home classified as real property pursuant to Section 10-4-2.4 shall be accompanied by an affidavit issued by the county treasurer of the county in which the manufactured home is assessed, stating the current year's real property taxes that are due and payable at the time of transfer, that are due and payable. This would change it so that you would only pay taxes that are now due and payable at the time of the transfer if they're for the you would only pay the taxes that are are due and payable at the time, not the next year. So it's not the current year, it's the next year, the year of that you would ordinarily pay for real estate taxes. And then Section 2 deletes any reference to sell, transfer, or reassignment, and it deals specifically with move or destroy. Those apply to manufactured homes then that are either going to be moved or destroyed, and it leaves the law in effect as it currently is written, except that it also now will provide that if manufactured homes have been destroyed, the owner shall submit a landfill ticket or proof of destruction to the director of equalization. So that would be the addition there. So the idea is to put manufactured homes and mobile homes on the same level as the taxes that we pay for just real estate. So we're not going to tax them differently. That pretty much sums up the bill. Thank you.
I'll stand by for questions. Thank you, Representative. Senate Bill 90, further proponent testimony. Welcome.
Hi. Morning, Madam Chair, committee members. My name is Carol Maloney. I'm here today representing myself, but just by way of background, I currently serve as county treasurer over in Watertown, and I was on a treasurer's board that for the last 2 years has been working on some different tax issues, dealing with tax certificates, the bill you folks reviewed last week, I believe, and then also we dealt with mobile homes. The way the process is currently, as Representative John sort of indicated, manufacturers' homes, if they are going to be, the title is going to be changed or transferred on the mobile home, or if it's going to be moved, instead of having the taxes stay collected 1 year in arrears, like real estate, we collect the current year's taxes in order to either issue a permit or to transfer a title. What this bill is intended to do is to treat manufactured homes and mobile homes similar to how stick-built homes are. Unless the house is actually being moved or relocated, we will only collect at the time the permit's issued, at the time a title is transferred, we will only require that all taxes outstanding at the time of that title transfer be collected. We are not going to require the current year's taxes to be assessed, and then the director would assess it. The auditor would extend the tax levy and the state factor to that assessed value and then come up with a bill for the current year. We want to not use that process unless the mobile home itself is being moved. We want to continue to have the moving permits require an affidavit that the taxes be paid in full at the time they're moved. In the case of real estate, if a stick-built home is being moved or relocated, the taxes in that instance are also supposed to be paid currently. So we're just trying to make sure that we're comparing apples to apples and we're following the same process. And that's essentially what this bill is going to get us to. If you have any questions, I'll be here. Otherwise, I'll get out of your way.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 90.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Margo Northrup. I'm an attorney and peer and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Manufactured Housing Association. We rise in support of Senate Bill 90. And I think the primary benefit that we see is this is going to not only streamline taxes so that they more closely resemble real property taxes, but it's going to allow a more streamlined process to get those mobile homes that need to be removed from the property so that another manufactured home home that's either newer or that can be livable can be moved in. And we see this as a good positive piece of legislation that's going to help that so that we can get those mobile homes back on the tax roll. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Further proponent testimony, Senate Bill 90. Seeing none at this time, we'll move into opponent testimony on Senate Bill 90. Seeing no opponent testimony, we'll waive the rebuttal and move into committee action or questions.
Chair.
Representative Paulson.
It's amazing. I thought this was already being done. I think this is a common sense bill, so I saw just a comment.
Representative York?
Nope.
Anybody else?
I think a move to pass.
It's been moved by Representative York.
Second.
Seconded by Representative Smith. Any comments? Seeing none at this time, we will call the roll, Madam Secretary.
Representatives Greenfield.
Aye.
Jameson.
Aye.
Kettwig.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Turpeville.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
13 ayes.
Senate Bill 90, having received a majority of the members-elect, passes. One of the representatives to my left. Ooh, in unison. It's been moved consent on Senate Bill 90.
Second.
Seconded by Representative McCleary. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Senate Bill 90 moves consent. A little bit of housekeeping before we go. Excuse me. Crossover day is on Friday. We have two House bills left. Would anybody object if we did not have a meeting on Tuesday and took those two bills up on Thursday?
Give us time.
It will give us time. They've got a crossover by Friday. So we'll have the two days in between. So at this time, we will not be meeting Tuesday. Enjoy your weekend. I will take a motion.
So move.
Second.
To adjourn.
Thank you. Just gave me, it was actually for the pay raise for all of us. Yeah. Representative Turbeville, seconded by Representative McCleary. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
This is another record. Thanks so much.
24-minute meeting.